it was funny, and it was honest, and a little too accurate, maybe. Right? I think there was a few people elbowing their spouse going, "That's you. That was you." I love Christmas. Everybody who knows me knows I really love Christmas, and I know a lot of you do too. I know some of you like love Christmas. I know a couple of you who started hanging lights on your house the day after Halloween, and that's a choice. That's no judgment. All I would say is, hey, next year, give Thanksgiving a chance to breathe. It'll come. But if you're here tonight, and maybe that drama spoke to you, maybe you're not exactly bursting with holiday cheer, we want to say to you, welcome. Because one of the most honest lines in that play, I think, was Marjorie singing, "Oh, I really don't feel like Christmas this year." And some of us might be feeling some grief or anxiety, or maybe you're feeling financial stress, or a relationship you're in that kind of feels like it's held together by, you know, duct tape and distractions. And if that's you, then I especially want to thank you for being here, because you made it. You did it, and I'm glad you did. And here's what I want us all to hear tonight. Christmas is not about us manufacturing a feeling. I know this is going to be a shock to some of us, but Hollywood lies. It's true. It's true. Christmas is not all about moving to a small town and meeting that charming guy in a flannel shirt who runs the bakery. Christmas isn't just being one snowball fight away from being past your trauma, or belting out jingle bells really loudly until, you know, the spirit of the season hits you in all the feels, because you realize you really are the richest man in town all along, and Buddy the Elf really is your kid, and you fought off the bad guys and made your parents reappear. It's all lies. It's all lies. Christmas isn't about you mustering up anything. Christmas is about God moving toward us. We're here because in the darkest time in human history, one of the darkest places on the planet, God didn't stand far away. And he didn't just shout encouragement like, "Hey, good luck down there." No, God came to us. He moved into the neighborhood, and not the nicest part of town either. And it's why when we say things like "the light has come," we're not just talking about a vibe. We're not just talking about some vague spiritual force or even like a warm feeling generated by Christmas carols. The light has come as a person. Now, most of us know the Hallmark version of the story, right? Mary, Joseph, baby in a manger. You know, there's little halos above everybody's head. Everything looks like it smells like cinnamon. But the real story is a lot grittier than that. It's about a peasant couple from Galilee under Roman rule. The story is full of fear and disruption. There's this trip that's forced on them by the government. There's a crowded town. There's no room at the inn. And so they have to improvise. Mary and Joseph have to improvise. They find shelter. What we really think is it was probably a kind of a cave that was used to house livestock. And that fact gets me, that they had to improvise, because that's real life, isn't it? Improvising is real life. How many of you were like me and you started the year 2025 with a plan for how you thought it was all going to go? And life said, "That's adorable." And for that first Christmas couple, for Mary and Joe, the drama just kept escalating that night, because she's pregnant. She's like way past her due date. And when that baby boy draws its first breath and his first little cry rings out, it's not surrounded by angels. It's surrounded by animals in this small cave in the hills of a first century Middle Eastern village. A cave that had used as a stable, that had probably seen the birth of lambs and calves and baby goats, now witnesses the birth of God. That is Christmas. That God didn't swoop down in a golden chariot. God arrived the way all humans arrive on this planet: small and fragile, needy, dependent. The light of the world came to earth through Mary's womb with all of the, I'm sure, the contractions and labor and the agony that usually goes along with delivering a baby, into the beautiful, horrible mess that is our world. And he didn't come as a fully formed adult, all powerful, ready to take charge. He came naked, head first, utterly vulnerable. That is Jesus. Jesus, born of a girl named Mary, born into the beautiful mess of our world. Which means, to me, something very special, that God is not allergic to your messy situation. He's not too holy to look upon your struggles and your weaknesses. God's not over there waiting on the other side of your improvement for you to come join him once you get it all figured out. No, God came into the beautiful, horrible mess of our world, and that's why we sing, it's why we call him Emmanuel, Hebrew for God with us. God with us. All right, what time is it? All right, this is the moment I get to nerd out for just a second. Bear with me. Because light has been kind of our theme here at Generations all December long, and light is one of the most mind-bending realities in the universe. It's amazing. It's magical. Speaking of magical, one of the kids outside in the hallway before service said, "Are you a magician?" So right off the bat, had to like really disappoint him. So there's not going to be any tricks tonight. I'm sorry. Not used to seeing me in a bow tie. So light travels. You probably know that. Light travels. It doesn't just appear. Which means when you see light, you're seeing something that actually crossed an actual distance to reach you. Light from the sun, we're told, takes a little over 8 minutes to get to your face. 8 minutes flying through space to get to your face. And so when you feel sunlight, you're literally feeling photons that left that star, that blazing sun, 8 minutes ago, which just blows my mind, because you know what that means? That means if something happened and the sun suddenly just disappeared from existence, we would still get to tan ourselves for 8 more minutes. Isn't that amazing? Like, you would still see it there. Now, scale that up. When you look at stars, you're not just looking back 8 minutes. Some starlight has been traveling for years, decades, centuries even. In fact, when you look up at the farthest known star that we've ever found, which is, by the way, called WHL0137-LS, and they helpfully renamed it Arendelle, just for you Lord of the Rings fans, you are looking back in time 12.9 billion years. Can you believe that? That means when you're looking at light, when you're looking at Arendelle, you're looking at light that has been traveling toward you since before there were humans, before there were trees, before there were dinosaurs, before there was barbecue. Imagine that, it's that primitive of a time. Now, here's what I find interesting. Light doesn't argue with the darkness. You ever notice that? Light doesn't have to argue. It doesn't have to shout. It doesn't wrestle the darkness to the ground like, oh, here we go. No, no, no. Light just shows up, and the darkness has to adjust. And the reason starlight takes time to reach you, it isn't because the darkness is so powerful. It's because the universe is huge, right? Which means, if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, I'm trying to, or you're like that one character, you're trying to, I just don't feel peace. It doesn't mean that God has stalled out somewhere along the way. It might mean that you're in the exact kind of season where God's presence looks less like fireworks and it looks a lot more like faithful people. Like someone sitting next to you sharing their candlelight, as we're going to do in a little bit. How does God move into the neighborhood? How did he choose to do it? He moved into the neighborhood in the form of humanity. For my family this year, we feel that very acutely. As most of you know my dad, founding pastor of this church, Albert Hale, he passed away this summer. And so this Christmas is extra tender for us. And there's gratitude and there's grief It's just like one of the characters in the play said, grief and joy can occupy the same space. And this year, I got to say, this church has absolutely just been Jesus in the flesh, not just to me and my family, but to each other. I see the way you guys have been loving on each other all year long. And so if you're here and you're carrying pain and you're doing the holidays anyway, you're trying to do it, I just want you to know you're not doing Christmas wrong. You're doing Christmas honestly. You're doing it courageously because Jesus was born into a world that was desperate for healing, a world that needed light. One of my favorite living theologians is a pastor named Brian Zahn. He wrote this. He said, the Magi, that's the three wise men, you know, they saw the star in the sky. The Magi read the birth of the King of the Jews in the stars, but the King himself was born in a cave, and it had to be that way. For in the kingdom of Christ, greatness is not achieved by reaching for the stars, but by love's willing descent into lowliness, meekness, humility. I love that. I love that about Jesus. On that Bethlehem night, the sign is up in the sky, but the Savior of the world is down in the dirt. And here's something I believe with all my heart. If you want to know what God is like, because we all got different versions of that, but if you really want to know what God is like, look at the manger. That's where we see his true character, his sacrificial love for us. Some have put it this way, simply, if this is God, then thus is God. If that's what God does, then this is what God is like, which is a pretty revolutionary thought. It's good. It's big news for some of us, especially those of us raised to assume, you know, that God, when we think about God, he's all about domination. He's all about control. You know, he's like Zeus. He's just conquering his opponents and holding on to power. But Christmas says no. God is the Almighty who chooses vulnerability. God chooses humility, sacrifice, and solidarity with these little people over control. God comes near the poor, the threatened, and the overlooked. And the fundamental claim of Christmas is pretty crazy, that the one who spoke those galaxies into existence stepped into his creation as a human baby. And he did it that way because thus is God. He's the sort of God, that's what he is. If this is God, thus is God. Jesus redefines greatness. About 30 years after his birth, he said this to his disciples in the Gospel of Mark. He said, you know that among the Romans, those whom they recognize as their rulers dominate them, and their great ones are tyrants over them, but it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever among you wishes to be great will be a servant. That's greatness in the kingdom of God. This is Jesus looking at his friends and basically saying, guys, we're not doing it like everybody else. In his kingdom, greatness doesn't climb over, greatness kneels. And it's why God pursued us the way he always does, with love that goes low, love that serves, love that stays. It's love that gets close. And then that love starts to spread through ordinary people, which leads to my favorite line of the play we just watched. What do you do when you know, you're sad and you're numb or you're angry or you're exhausted? When the answers to your prayers maybe feel as far away as, you know, the star WHL0137-LS. The character in the play had a pretty brilliant answer. Sometimes you need Jesus with skin on. Sometimes the way God comes near isn't a lightning bolt, something impressive. It's just a person who shows up. It's a friend who calls to pray or just to listen when you needed it. Maybe it's a neighbor that just comes over and mows your lawn or babysits for you so you can do all those things you need to do. Sometimes love is just a member of the church who appears with a pie, you know, like some kind of divine DoorDash angel. I love pie so much. Sometimes love is your small group that flies into action when something goes on in your life, and even if they can't fix your problem, they refuse to let you sit alone in it. And I know for some of us, we hear stuff like that, and we're like, well, that sounds like pretty ordinary stuff. It doesn't sound very, like, supernatural. That's the point. Christmas is God saying, the ordinary is exactly where I show up. A baby, a manger, a mom and dad who are improvising, right? Later that night, some shepherds, regular old working class people, getting invited into the delivery room. This is not the story of the spiritual elite achieving enlightenment. This is the story of a God who comes low. And so, here's what I want you to take with you tonight. If you're in a dark season right now, your job is not to pretend that it's not dark. Your job is to show up anyway, to whisper the smallest prayer that you can manage, to let the light reach you through worship, through scripture, through community, and through his presence, which is here right now. And if you're in a good place right now, like none of this like is even hitting you at all, right? Because you're just in a great place. Everything's going wonderful. Don't take that for granted. Praise God and be grateful for that, right? And Christmas is your invitation to carry light for someone else through your presence, through your prayers, your kindness, that constant assurance, I'm here and I'm going to keep being here, right? The light that Jesus has shown all of us, he has called us to reflect it as image bearers. We're image bearers of the divine, reflected to every person we come across. In a moment, we're going to light our candles. And I always love this tradition. I'm a sucker for candles because really it's such a picture of the kingdom of Christ expressed out loud. One candle spreading through the whole room. And when you share your flame with the person next to you, I always think it's amazing in it that you don't lose your flame by giving it away. The light multiplies. It multiplies. That's how the love of God works. And so tonight, whether you are here and you're in it, you're believing all of this completely, or maybe you're here and you're still kind of exploring, or maybe you're here and you're not convinced of any of this, here's my invitation. Let this be a moment where you're just willing to say, God, if you're real, come close to me. Because as Christians, we believe that God's answer to that prayer is never try harder. His answer is Emmanuel, God with us, the light that has come. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I pray this for the tired and the tenderhearted in this room right now. Come close. Let your light be shared here tonight and teach us to carry that light for each other. In Jesus' name, amen.